One night upon the sea, a ship was tossing to and fro. Breakers dashed on every hand, angry winds around did blow. All on board were filled with fright as the mighty billows rolled. Then they called upon the one who the winds and waves control. When he reaches down his hand, billows cease at his command. Winds and waves obey his will.
When he says to them, be still.
What man is this, they halted, say, that the winds and sea obey.
That the winds and sea obey.
one who sails with me.
He's the master of the sea.
He's the master of the sea.
Though the storms of life may rage, mighty billows round you roll, that he can calm life's troubled sea, as he did in days of old. And as upon life's sea you sail, why don't you trust in him who's never failed? He's the one who sailed with me. He's the master of the sea. When he reaches down his hand, billows cease at his command. Winds and waves obey his will. When he says to them, be still. What man is this, say all he'd say, that the winds and sea obey. He's the one who sailed with me.
He's the master of the sea.
He's the one who sailed with me.
He's the master of the sea.
He's the master of the sea.
I never know when, if there's going to be a second song until Charlene gets up. That's my only cue to know I can come up. Because if y'all know, there's been many times that I've had set up here because they didn't tell me what was going on. You know how that goes? Good to be here. If you're writing your Bible, and you write when the preacher preached a certain message, you're going to run out of room on this one, okay? Because I've been here before. I can't tell you when. You'll have to tell me, all right? 1 Kings chapter number 17. Now, I'm going to read this spot eventually, but I'm going to start with somewhere else. So you just turn there because it'll take you longer to find it. The book of 1 Timothy. Brother Brian done a wonderful job teaching Sunday school this morning. Brother Brian did something this morning. I thought, now, what did the Lord tell him? Because Brian mentioned something about qualifications of a preacher. He just mentioned that in passing. Well, little did he know, the Lord done led me to read this part, same thing. I'm just going to read a couple verses. I'm not going to go into all the things. Then I'm going over to the book of 1 Kings. So listen as I read just a little bit. This is in Timothy. It says, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, a good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? If I had the time to read the entire chapter, I could begin to tell you how God wants to look at different people, the preachers, the deacons, and if I can kind of look at it this way, God has a measuring stick for every one of us. And that measuring stick that God puts on preachers is not subjective to your interpretation. It's not given, say, well, I don't think it really meant that. I think it meant that. I think what God does when God as a preacher, God separates. God says there's a way that I want the preacher to live and act. And now the preacher can qualify himself. That's a term I just want to use loosely. But he can also disqualify himself. Now when the preacher disqualifies himself, he's not disqualified for one service. Oh, wait till next week and everything will be all right. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you I'm perfect. No, by no means. But I want to tell you, preachers across our land have went down. And the reason they have went down is because they've decided to interpret the Bible under their terminology. Now, the preaching of the cross hasn't changed, not one bit. The gospel hasn't changed, not one bit. The message, though, from folks have changed over the years. I believe the power of the pulpit is very important, that ought to be preached today and it ought to be dealt with today, and the standard of the preacher should not diminish at all. He'd be up there. In the New Testament, we know about the high priest. Now, we know it through about the Bible. But in the New Testament, when Jesus came along, there was a little bit of difference, because the high priest had a certain job to do in the tabernacle. But when Jesus came along and died on Calvary's cross, and that veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom, and that opening took place, that allowed us to be able to go all the way to the Holy of Holies. That job of that high priest is no longer needed. You don't come to me with your sins. You don't go to any other preacher with your sins. If you don't go to God, friend, your sins are still going to be held accountable against you. But I have the privilege that I can take my sins to the Lord Jesus Christ and present my sin and ask forgiveness of my sin through His own shed blood on Calvary's cross. Now, when God calls preachers, and when God puts a preacher in the pulpit, His message should stand true no matter what the people may do. No matter what. 1 Kings chapter number 17. I'd like to talk to you this morning about the man of God. The man of God. Now, the reason why I want you to read this particular passage, and I'm not going to read it all at a time, it just won't let me read it all. But I want you to grab, and I want you to understand that when the prophet of the Lord was doing the work of the Lord, he did not know from day to day what God was going to do. And from day to day, if God changed his mind to say, oh, by the way, I'm telling you to do this today, and oh, by the way, tomorrow you're going to do this, the servant or the man of God must be in condition to change whatever God says to do. You do it. You don't hesitate. You don't question it. You just do it. The man of God should be in tune with have his ear in tune with what God says at any point, at any time. By saying that now, I want to begin reading, and I want you to listen, and I want to start reading verse number 9. Arise, Elijah, he's telling Elijah, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belonged to Zidon, and dwell there. Stay there. Dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And I pray, God, you help us. I pray, God, you move upon hearts. Oh, God, if there's someone lost out of your will, let this be the day they surrender their heart and life to you. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. When the prophet of the Lord had just come from the brook dried up. I hope you'll understand that story. God told him to stay right there by that brook, and he'd feed him by ravens. He sure did.
And when the brook dried up, there wasn't nowhere with God. God had already been working on something else. He had another plan. And when he had this plan, he was waiting. God was waiting. I wish I had the whole time, but God was waiting because this woman had a son. She was a widow woman. And she had already had in her mind that she was going to do her last meal. Gather those two sticks, and she was going to gather them sticks and go back home and have a fire built, and she was going to cook them cakes for her and her son for the last minute, and they were going to die. Now, that's a very, very, very easy story to remember, but it's a very hard story to experience. If you've never been in that kind of shape in this world, you really don't know. You're just hearing the words. But if you ever come to the last mile of your way, or if you ever come to the end of your road, or if you ever come to the part where you done tried everything and nothing's working, and friend, you're just going to give up and die, then you kind of understand what this woman was going through. But if you've never been in that, if you always had a can of pork and beans in the cupboard, you've been in good shape. But friend, when it's like this, when you've got plenty, there's options. But when you don't have plenty, your options begin to dry up. Now, I don't know how it works this. I don't know how God knows, but God knows. I don't understand. I have a hard enough time keeping up with my own life. I have a hard enough time keeping up what I need to do, much less everybody in this world, but God knows. Now, here's the situation. The prophet of the Lord had done stirred up trouble back yonder and told them folks back yonder, said, guess what? Because your actions, God's going to cause a drought and it's not going to rain. And oh, by the way, you ain't nothing you can do about it because God said it and it's going to happen. Then whenever that took place, then when the Lord sends him to this little brook and stay right there by the brook, don't go nowhere else, you stay right there by the brook. Now, was he the man of God? Oh, yeah, he was a man of God. Man, when you're talking about Elijah, and then you're talking about this Elijah, the man of God, that says, God's not going to let it rain, turns around and walks out. Boy, that's a powerful message. I don't know of too many folks around this world that you ever hear that kind of message from today. See, the man of God, I can read the qualifications in Timothy. And I can take my time and I can go through those things, not for your sake, for my sake. And for my sake, there's certain things I can do and certain things that I can't do. But everything depends on me doing my part for God to do his part. There is no message ever going to be preached from the throne of God down to man if I decide to do what I want to do. The message of God must come from Father above. The message will never do good unless it comes from Father above. If it comes from mankind, if it comes from me, if it comes from any other preacher that preaches from the pulpit and he wants what he wants, he'll do nothing. Now, if you want to see the condition of the Bible Belt of the United States where it's currently at today versus what it was currently at 100 years ago, we have faltered in our area. Now you tell me where it did and we'll figure out how to fix it. But it's all across our country. Churches changing, churches doing different, giving up, quitting, all the other many things. And it ain't because of the church members, it's because what's behind the pulpit. Because you must preach to the lost and dying world and quit trying to preach what you want. Watch. The prophet of the Lord hadn't made it yet to where he's going. The man of God hears and sees God feed him by the brook. Sees God that has watered him from the watering hole. and hears from God that says, your time here is stopped. I have commanded, I have already sent word to a widow woman. We're giving you a little bit of it. There's a lady there in this town that you're going to. I have commanded her. Now, I'm not very smart, but I'm smart enough to read when God says something, that means he's already took care of it. Whenever Elijah appears to the woman at the gate, you remember, you read it for yourself, appears at the gate, she and Elijah have a conversation. And Elijah said something about a little water. And she went to go and fetch that water. Elijah could have been thirsty or not, I have no idea. But what comes next is, the question was, what are you doing? And she says, I'm gathering two sticks. I got enough food for me and my son. I'm going to have my last meal and I'm going to die. Does that sound like she's just met the man of God? Does that sound like that God has took the time to say, your prayers are answered? Now you listen, when the man of God comes on the scene, he has no idea the entire circumstances that's going on in one's life. Whenever we come to church today, I can tell you my little share of troubles that I got in this world, but I don't know your share of troubles. And if we start putting our little share of troubles together and we piling them up in a pile, I really kind of be selfish here. I'd like to take care of mine before I take care of yours. But that ain't the way God works. God has a message. The man of God had a message. The message was simple. Feed me first. Feed me first. Then feed your family. It didn't say feed us all together. It didn't say, make all the cakes and divide it into three. Feed me first. After you feed me first, then. It's almost like saying this away. You put all that stuff together, you feed the prophet of the Lord first. Man, you preach the preacher. No, you do what God says do. It's not about taking care of the preacher. It's not about taking care of the church. It's not about taking care of nothing else. You do what God says do. When you do what God says do, when you follow what the leadership of God is saying, it'll be easier for you to make a decision. Remember what God said to Elijah. God said, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. It don't act like she's got that communication. Or has she? Or has she? The decision had to be on her mind. Remember, the man of God. She don't call him the man of God. She don't say nothing about who are you, where you been, what are you doing. His message was so simple. Sure enough. She makes that meal, that cake for him. And as soon as she made that cake for him, God's word become real. You read it for yourself. When she made that cake for him, she obeyed what the man of God said. That's all. And when she made that cake and he eat that food, there was a condition. You do this, God will do this. But if you remember what God said to him, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now the man of God wasn't worried about God taking care of him. God already told him he was being taken care of. The man of God will be taken care of by God whether or not anything else happens. Pulpits across America today think they control the preacher. They do not. Pulpits across America think that they can act any way and do any way in the church. Friend, the pulpits of America need to listen. If God will just lead the man of God that's behind, if God will lead that man of God, our country will straighten out all across. We like to talk about, and I repeat myself too much, but I want you to hear. We used to be the Bible Belt. We used to be one nation under God. We used to respect our flag, and we used to do a Pledge of Allegiance and stop what we was doing. We used to do a lot of things that had respect for the house of God, the country we live in, and the land that we live in. But what has happened? We've stopped preaching the truth, and we're letting folks do what they want to do. When that woman obeyed God, obeyed the voice of that prophet, the food, the oil and that meal, it just kept on coming. And it was going to keep on coming. But I got to hurry. What happened was, she had all kinds of troubles. But the prophet of the Lord did not realize the leadership of God in his life. Every day when it come time for meal time, God provided a meal. Every day. His message was simple. His message wasn't a new message every day. But let me get down and I want to show you a couple of things. I want you to see this and I want you to listen. Verses number 13. Of that same opening. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, bring it to me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail unto the day which the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. That is everything right there concerning that blessing. There is no more blessing than she will ever receive. There's not an added benefit. Oh, by the way, God's going to fill your meal barrel and you're going to get a steak on the side. No. Oh, by the way, you'll have oil, but you'll have this. No. The promises of God's word doesn't need anything added or taken away. I am saved by God's grace. I am saved by because I have faith that I put in the trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I believe that whenever I'm saved forever. I don't believe there's anything that God needs to add to salvation. It is perfect. Amen. Now you listen. That is all. It's all done. It's a declaration. It's made. There's nothing else to do. But she was praying for God's will to change her condition. She didn't realize it, but God had changed her condition by that right there. Now the man of God didn't realize her need was as great. Now you watch as we go to this part right here. When this was answered, was her praying days over? When this was answered, was her praying days over? The storms of life are going to come. If you've got the man of God to listen to hear the preached word, to follow the leadership of God, we might sit and do nothing. We might think all we've got to do is eat and sleep and exist in this world. We might think all I've got to do is work a public job. But I got news for you. God has a plan for our praying life, and God has a plan for the preaching of this world. Now watch. Watch. Read with me the part of the scriptures that's kind of hard, but verses 18. Let me read 17. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, that son fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, remember, man of God. She said to Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? My Bible has a question mark behind it, which is saying, oh, are you a man of God? Are you a man of God? What in the world has happened? God has seen my condition. God answered my prayer. But now look what's happened. It would have been better for if you would have just left me alone and let me die instead of putting me through this. What do you mean? God's been feeding her. God's been taking care of her. And it was almost better if you'd have just let me die on my own. You know, some folks don't believe in the power of this pulpit. The power of the Word of God warns sinners of their wicked ways. And that warning, that message, it might appear, if preacher, if you just leave me alone, if you just don't bother me with this religious stuff, don't tell me about Jesus, let me just die on my own. If you want to ignore the man of God, that's your privilege. No one's forcing you. But the Holy Spirit of God will speak to your heart and come into your heart, and He will actually tug at your heart's door and tell you about your sins and tell you about your troubles. But He's not going to just show you your sins. He's going to tell you something a little bit more than your sins. I want you to know this woman may have a lot of problems, but here's what she said. What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? Are you here just to tell me what I've done wrong? Are you here just let me die? Let my son live. Wouldn't that have been a noble request? Wouldn't that have been a request that would have been easy for a parent to make over their son? Hey, she was a widow. She done lost her husband. And if this son dies, what's she got left? Friend, the pulpit of preaching across America is not to solve everybody's problems in the way everybody else wants it. It's kind of like my troubles and your troubles. We pile them in the pile. One gets answered. What about the others? We don't get to pick and choose how God answers. We don't get to pick and choose our sickness, our problems, our cares, our worries. If we were to say, God, just leave me alone. Don't bother me anymore. Just leave me alone. Verse 24. Look at verse 24. Here's what it says. Elijah had took that child and prayed, and God delivered that child. Verse 24. After that child was alive and was back to its health again, and the woman said unto Elijah, now by this I know. What does it mean? Now by this. In other words, with her eyes, with her belief, she has a lot of doubt. And friend, I want to tell you, when you're lost, you have a lot of doubt. You have a lot of doubt. When you're out of the will of God, there's nothing in a church very good. I think something was mentioned this morning about hypocrites. If you want to see a church filled with hypocrites, you get out of the will of God. Man, everybody at the church is a hypocrite. Now watch. Her mindset has to change.
And the only way her mindset is going to change is to her believe in the message of God. She says, "And the woman said unto Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is true." When a person preaches the gospel, and he's preaching it, the old terminology, gun barrel straight. When that message is delivered, even sinner people can see it. Because the Bible, this Bible said, this woman said, "It did this happen because you bring in remembrance of my sins?" You see, the true man of God is going to preach what God says because he doesn't know what the outcome is going to be. But God knows. And I want you to know something. You may go through all kinds of discouragement in your life. You may go through things that you think, I shouldn't have to be going through this. Why don't we reverse the situation for a moment? Why don't we let the woman's son be sick unto death before the prophet ever shows up? And then, after the prophet shows up and takes care of the son, then he takes care of the food. Because the way God wanted it was the other way. You see, not always do things happen the way we want them to happen. Because I'll guarantee you, circumstances would change for me if I controlled them. And I want you to know, my friend, this morning, the man of God with the message of God cannot change to suit the people. It must always, always be the word of the Lord. And whenever you go to criticize the preacher, just go ahead. It's okay. Don't bother me. I'm really, really tough in that department. Really am. And the reason why I'm tough in that department, if I worried about what folks got to say, I'd be worried all the time. But you know what? If God's telling me to say it, I don't worry a thing in the world about it. I really don't. And I can tell you this for a fact. Come next Sunday, you'll have to tell me where I was preaching at this Sunday. Just next Sunday. Because why? That message is done gone. I want you to hear me and hear me well. That message may be gone from me, but if God's dealing with you, that message is going to be still speaking to you. And if that message is speaking to you, it must be a message that you need to heed. She never recognized him as the man of God. In fact, questioned, "Are you the man of God?" But now she knows he's the man of God. Not everybody that preaches behind a pulpit is a preacher. I can go online and get me all kinds of degrees and all that kind of stuff, and I can go online and get me a ordained or whatever I want to do, male, female, it really don't matter. I can get all that stuff done, and I can show you the papers, and everything's all right. And that's a bunch of baloney. But if we'll let the man of God preach the word that comes from the Lord, God will speak to your heart. And you know the message he's going to preach to you today is that same message of Jesus Christ dying for your sins. It's not going to change. The Lord lets me live another 10 years, my message is still going to be the same. Not going to change. Been too long in this to stop now. Not change my Bible, not change the way I do it. Still going to do it the same old way. You may get tired of hearing it, but I believe we need to preach to a lost and dying world. And when God speaks to your heart, if you're saved and you're out of God's will, you need to get right. You need to be happy. Living outside of the will of God is not going to make you happy. But if you're living in God's will, friend, you may have troubles, but they're happy troubles. Them's a kind that you know that when God hears you, He'll handle it in His way. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Do you know beyond a shadow of doubt that He loves you today? Let's have a song, Brother Greg. Don't know much, but I do know the man of God must preach the word. I went to a lot of revival meetings over the years. And I've went to a lot of places. And I've heard some great messages. But the greatest messages in the world is the one that speaks to my heart. That's to my heart. And whenever I've heard messages like that, I go away saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I went to services and maybe an hour of preaching, whatever. And may 2 minutes worth God be speaking to me. Boy, I'd be so thankful for that 2 minutes. Because God took the time to take 2 minutes out of a message just for me. Am I worthy of that? No. But I sure am proud when God talks to me. As a child of the King, I'm on my way. I'm proud that God took the time to send Jesus for little old me. Oh, man. He took the time for you, and you can be saved. And when He takes the time for you, you'll be thankful for that old preacher that preached that message straight down the middle and would not weave one way or the other. And when you hear that message, you'll know that Jesus saves. Man, we stand to our feet. God's speaking to you. You come.